Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. There's a good chance you've seen cartoonist Adrian Tomina's art gracing the cover of The New Yorker. He's created several visually alluring covers over the years. He's also written the acclaimed indie comic books Optic Nerve and Killing and Dying. As award-winning author Zadie Smith has said of Adrian's work, Adrian Tomina can draw, think, write, and feel. He has more ideas in 20 panels than novelists have in a lifetime. Adrian's latest work is a graphic memoir called The Loneliness of the Long-Distance Cartoonist. This book gives us total access into the way his mind works. The New York Times has named it one of the notable books of 2020. We caught up with Adrian for a frank discussion on his process and the inspiration for his graphic memoir.
The real impetus for it is described in the book itself. So the events that happened towards the end of the book really did prompt the creation of the book. But beyond that, it was definitely in the works in my mind for a number of years, because for one thing, there's sort of a long tradition in the small corner of the cartooning medium that I exist in. There's a long tradition of the confessional autobiographical graphic novel. And that's something that's been going on since probably before I was born. And it's loomed very large over me as one of these hurdles that maybe I would try and leap when I felt I could handle it. And the other reason is that I live with this perpetual fear of losing my audience, of tiring them out, of people having that reaction of, oh, you know, it's more of the same to whenever I put out a book. And so within my limited abilities, what I've tried to do is with each book, try and do something that is at least not a repetition of the previous book. Prior to this book, I did a collection of short stories in comics form that was called Killing and Dying. And it was all fiction. It was in full color. Like I said, they were short stories. And there was sort of a somber, reflective mood over the whole book. And so when I finished that, and actually that book unfortunately took me 7 years to complete. So as soon as it was done, I felt like the last thing I want to do is jump into another book that's exactly like that. And so this book seemed to be a departure for me in many ways, in terms of style and tone and the fact that it was autobiographical. It seemed like the right time for all those reasons.
Mm-hmm. The Loneliness of the Long Distance Cartoonist is published in the form of a moleskin notebook with graph paper pages. Whose idea was that?
That was mine. That was something that was important to me from the beginning. And I sort of had the idea of the form of the book at the same time as I had the idea of the content of the book. In recent years, I've felt an increasing desire, or maybe even an obligation, to try and create books that offer something different than the digital experience. I'm one of those people who really beats the drum about supporting independent bookstores and keeping print alive and things like that. And at a certain point, I started to feel, you know, enough people had, everybody wants to convert me. So everybody's always showing me their e-books and everything like that. And at a certain point, I did start to feel like something had shifted and comics were looking pretty good on these devices. And I thought, well, if I'm going to stand this ground and try to make the case for books, I'm one of the people in the world who is in that position to actually create books. And I felt sort of a responsibility to try and make books that would be eye-catching, offer some sort of tactile experience. And in the case of this book, I really wanted to do something where the book itself was very much a part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Your drawing style is usually very realistic, and the art in your memoir is still realistic, but you've stripped it down somewhat to kind of simplify it, make it a bit less realistic. Why did you decide to make this change?
A couple reasons. One is, like I said, my previous book took me 7 years to complete, and the book before that, which was called Shortcomings, I think took me 5 years to complete. And as I get older and as I want to spend as much time with my kids as possible, I was really feeling like I just didn't have the interest in that level of of work, really. I didn't want to spend 7 years working 7 days a week on something. And so it was a conscious effort to develop a style that could move along quicker. And so to give you an example, like a page from the book Killing and Dying, an average page took me about a week to complete, 5 days or so. And with this new book, The Loneliness of the Long Distance Cartoonist, at my best, I was doing a page a day, which felt like a whole new world to me. And it felt, it really put me in a good mood. My wife noticed the difference immediately. And I was also just going to say that for this particular story, for this material, it seemed like the right style. Like, I didn't want to do highly detailed renderings of me and my family, especially with sort of the more jokey punchline-oriented material at the beginning. It seemed like it would be a distraction or maybe even a little grotesque. And so I really look back to things like Charles Schulz's Peanuts as an inspiration for drawing simply and still conveying a lot of humanity and a lot of emotion. And of course, I will, you know, always aspire to his level, but it was definitely an inspiration.
Mm-hmm. In your memoir, you do not shy away from giving us total access to the thoughts you're having, the thoughts that are swirling through your brain, both the positive and the negative. Why were you willing to be so candid and intimate with your readers?
Well, it doesn't come naturally, I'll tell you that. So I appreciate you noticing that. But it was something, again, that I felt a bit of an obligation to, which is that if I was going to ask the readers to follow along a sort of quotidian autobiographical story, there's a real risk of self-indulgence, of narcissism, of being the guy at the party who's talking about himself for too long. And so I thought, if I'm going to ask readers to follow me along on this story for however many pages, that I at least owe it to them to be interesting and funny and revealing. And what I did was essentially trick myself into thinking that this material might not be published. I didn't go through the usual channels of pitching an idea to my publisher, signing a contract, taking an advance, sending out pages in advance for promotion. I really didn't even tell anyone about it. I think I didn't discuss it with anyone. I think my wife just started seeing the pages show up on my desk one day. And I worked that way, I'd say, for at least 6 months. And it gave me a great freedom, the knowledge that no one was expecting it, no one had paid for it, and I could easily just throw it in the trash and start something else without any repercussions. And that really freed me up. And once I got in that zone, it became more comfortable for me. So even after the point at which it became a real project and my publisher knew about it, I situated myself into that mindset and was able to continue with it.
Can you talk about one especially embarrassing incident that you recreated in your book?
Right. In the early days of my relationship with the woman who I'm now married to, when we were just dating, I was completely obsessed with trying to impress her and trying to take me seriously as an artist, because she had no connection to the world of comics or anything like that. And she worked in publishing, fiction publishing. So I was very self-conscious about being a cartoonist and how my work was perceived in the world. And on one of our early dates, by sheer coincidence, we were seated very close to another table at which there was another couple who happened to be discussing one of my books. And within minutes, it became clear that the main talker in that couple, no surprise, the man, was delivering a blistering critique of the work and a deeply considered one. And Sarah and I were just kind of paralyzed. And at first she thought I had sort of set up some sort of prank or something like that. And then I think she saw just the blood drain from my face and she realized that this somehow was actually happening. And my wife lost her temper. She's a very strong-willed Irish woman from Brooklyn, and she kind of snapped, I have to say, and leaped out of her seat and was determined to go give these people a piece of her mind, and she wanted to introduce me to them, and I had to sort of physically restrain her and beg her not to do that, and we eventually left the restaurant and went and got a slice of pizza instead.
Mm, so you came close to a confrontation, but didn't
yes,
have one.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yes, yeah. Usually you're drawing other people, but in this book, although there are some other people, mostly you're drawing yourself over and over again. What was that like for you?
Not as difficult or as unusual as people seem to think, because it's something that I've been doing for a long time. I think, actually, now that I think about it, I think about my kids, and they often draw pictures of themselves. Like if I ask them to do a drawing about something that happened over the weekend, it will be like an objective third-person view of them as a character going to the playground or something. It's not like a subjective view of what they saw. So I think that just comes naturally for children. And because I was one of those strange children who continued with that childhood hobby for the rest of my life, I think it was just a natural progression. So I had definitely some practice before starting this book.
Mm-hmm. You had a health scare a few years ago that you recreate in your memoir. What mm-hmm. happened?
I didn't know what was happening, but I was having an increased heart rate, pain in my chest, dizziness, and I'm enough of a hypochondriac that I was worried about it. And when I called my doctor, her response only put me over the top. And she basically said, I think you're having a heart attack. You got to go to the ER immediately. You know, unfortunately, I was on my own with my kids at the time. So I felt torn about how I was going to do that, about how I didn't want to upset them. I didn't want to leave them alone, but I also didn't want to foolishly ignore my doctor's advice. So I had to figure out a way to get myself to an ER quickly.
Mm-hmm. You wrote this very sweet, very beautiful, very poignant letter to your daughters in case at the time when in case you thought didn't make it. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind my asking, have they read the letter or have you read it to them or would that be too upsetting?
No. My older daughter, who's 10, has read the whole book. My younger daughter is only 5, so she's kind of looked through it, but she hasn't read it. Yeah, my older daughter read the whole book as it was produced. She was the first reader for every page because she would come into my room. I don't have like a private studio. I just work in the corner of my bedroom. And so Nora would come in and just look at each page as it was in progress and talk to me about it. Of course, her interest in the work spiked considerably when I reached the point in the chronology where she showed up as a character. And then she became a bit of a fact checker and an editor. So yeah, she has read it, but you know, I think maybe the that particular page, I don't know if it was disturbing to her or what, but she of all the things that we talked about the books, including the minutia of whether her hair had been parted in the middle or on the side or something like that, she hasn't brought that up. So I'm sure it's a conversation we'll have eventually, but it seems like it was something that she didn't want to get too deep into, at least at this stage in her life.
Did you learn anything new about yourself while you were working on The Loneliness of the Long Distance Cartoonist?
Well, I learned some things about myself during the incidents that I depict in the book. So that was actually before working on the book. But when I was in the ER, I was very shocked to find, at a certain point, I realized that I'd been sitting there for 5 hours or something like that, and I hadn't once thought about my work, and I hadn't thought about comics or projects that were upcoming. And I remembered that when I was younger, I always had this vision of myself as a true artist who, on his deathbed, would have all these regrets about the graphic novels that he didn't get to complete. So it was a complete shock to me that in the moment that I'd come closest to that so far in my life, that it hadn't played out at all in the way that I expected. At first, a bit of a disappointment because it was sort of a realization of being less of an artist than I'd wanted to think of myself as. But it was also a bit of a relief because I felt that in the scope of things that I instinctively had my priorities in the right place. And I was thinking about my parents and my wife and my children, and not a comic that I didn't get to finish.
Adrian Tomina, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Adrian Tomina is the author of The Loneliness of the Long Distance Cartoonist. Find out more at WPR.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Zola Jesus, David Mikics, and Adrian Tomina. If you want to hear it again or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta Podcast via Apple Podcasts or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And make sure to let us know what you think by leaving a rating or a comment. You can keep up with us during the week online at WPR.org/beta or on Twitter at WPRBeta.
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic!
Special thanks to producer Rob Mentzer.
As decent a lad as you would meet on a May morning.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
He comes straight from a night's sleep and a good breakfast, undrugged and hypnotized.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
He's enterprising, aggressive, outgoing, young, bold, vicious.
And thanks to you, our alphas. And hey, please be safe out there, okay? We'll see you next week. I'm Doug Gordon.
No, that's enough. He's perfect. I want his record sent to me.